In-depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to hour number two of the program for Friday, September 10th, 2010 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It is time, as always at this time, for the Federal News Countdown. And my guests on the countdown this week, over here to my left, Federal News Radio's Dorbeck Insider. It's Chris Dorbeck, and hello.
Hi.
Anybody listening to this program who doesn't know who you are by now should probably just tune away. So I'm not gonna really go in depth, shall we say, on your bio. But I'm glad you're here.
I'm thrilled. I've said it once before. I love this idea and this concept. So I'm always thrilled to be here.
And I'm grateful for that. And I know that you're also particularly thrilled about this edition of the Federal News Countdown because of your counterpart on the panel, who is Bill Eggers, Global Director of the Public Sector Industry for Deloitte Research. And Bill, it's great to see you.
It's great to be on.
I think the last time that you were here on my show was when you were talking about your book, If We Can Put a Man on the Moon, and showing up on bestseller lists all of a sudden, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, so actually, in the political bestseller list somehow in Washington last week, right behind the Tea Party Manifesto, of all things.
Congratulations.
That's quite an interesting pair to be at the top of the list. I would think they would be like magnets if on the list. They'd kind of push each other away. By the laws of physics. But at any rate, I'm glad that you're here. And Chris, glad to have you in studio. And we will get right down to this week's Federal News Countdown.
Number three!
The third most important federal news story of the week, as selected by Bill Eggers, is from readwriteweb.com. And the headline is Crowdsourcing National Challenges with the New Challenge.gov, another new media initiative that this administration's taking on.
It is a fantastic initiative. Essentially, the idea being that right now, if you want to actually do work with government and help them to solve big problems and so forth, you traditionally have to be a contractor and go through all of the procurement rules. And if you're, you know, a small organization or a group of individuals or just an individual, very, very difficult to break into that market. The idea behind challenge.gov is that we're going to put out some of the biggest challenges facing government today or the different agencies, and we're going to just let everyone kind of come up with ideas, and we're going to give prizes for whoever is able to actually solve those challenges. It follows from a lot of this work in the private sector. We've had the X Prize, which essentially you have X prizes for the first automobile that can go over 100 miles per gallon or the first private manned spacecraft in orbit, and those have been wonderfully successful for a prize of $25 million going into space. They got over $100 million worth of kind of inventions and improvements. And so the U.S. federal government is actually the first major government to go about this in a serious way. If you go on challenge.gov now, there's dozens of different prizes mm-hmm. that you can bid on, everything from things that only very, very, you know, essentially only rocket scientists could solve uh-huh. to things that actually children could participate in.
Yeah.
And so it opens up that process to all Americans. It opens up the procurement process in a way to smaller organizations, which I think is just a wonderful thing. And I look forward to the growth of this. There's a lot of enthusiasm.
There are two things about this concept that I think are really fascinating and innovative. One of them is I continue to be amazed by the amount of people who are willing to submit their ideas for consideration and essentially give them away. And it's been manifested for a number of years in the open source software community,
yes.
of course. And I think it's finally sinking in on some people who maybe would not have been open to this idea in the past. And the other idea is the return on investment. I mean,
right.
For what you were talking about how much, how many ideas and how much money can be saved by some of these ideas for what they're investing in the prize money is really, it's paltry.
Well, I think this is really, really just the beginning. We're going to see a huge growth in this effort because when you think about it, in any organization, there's always more people on the outside of the organization than there are inside who could help you to solve problems. And what you're doing is you're opening it up and you're leveraging all of those people on the outside. I mean, companies like Procter & Gamble and others have been doing this for years now. and receiving, reaping huge benefits from it. So, you know, I'm hoping that a couple years from now we see hundreds and hundreds of different prizes at all times. I think you'll actually see some people who will make a living kind of helping to solve these big problems.
The crowdsourcing national challenges with the new challenge.gov is the headline of Bill Eggers' story number 3 on the Federal News Countdown this week. Chris Dorbeck, your story number 3 is a federalnewsradio.com story with the headline Contracting Rule Changes Coming. And what is your sense about how contractors are taking this news?
The headline's frankly not the best headline ever, but essentially contractors are facing potentially, there's a notice of proposed rulemaking coming from the Labor Department. It's out there right now. You can comment on it. And it would essentially require that that government contractors have a certain percentage of their workforce be hired disabled workers.
Mm-hmm.
There's a number of different aspects to this, because traditionally when you go into the hiring process, you don't talk about whether you can't ask if somebody is disabled because they don't want you to bias. All of a sudden you're saying, hold on, no, we want you to ask. And in fact,
we want you to be biased.
And want you to go find them.
Yeah.
And
force you to be biased.
And so it's a very interesting change. I think it's really flown below the radar. No one has really picked up on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it could be a pretty significant change for how government contractors operate. Where all of a sudden this brand new feds, of course, have all sorts of hiring requirements, hasn't really touched government contractors. So it's a very different way of looking at how you get these folks into the marketplace. And of course, the unemployment rate among people with disabilities much higher than even the very high unemployment rate is generally.
I would wonder if there will be some kind of a legal challenge to this if it's actually instituted, because essentially the government is telling you to some degree who you should or can or have to hire.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see when the final rule comes out. Again, this is a notice of proposed rulemaking, so
uh-huh.
It essentially lists a whole bunch of questions. And I think there needs to be some discussion about how you go about doing this.
Yeah.
Is this good for folks with disabilities? Do they want to come out and say, hey, I have this disability? I don't know. It's ripe for a lot of discussion, I think.
Chris Dorbeck, story number 3 on the Federal News Countdown this week on Federal News Radio 1500 AM is headline, Contracting Rule Changes Coming. You can find all of the stories that we're counting down, all the stories selected by Chris Dorbeck, and all of the stories selected by Deloitte's Bill Eggers at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. They're all posted up for you right now to follow along with on the Federal News Countdown. Back with story number 2 for Bill Eggers and Chris Dorbeck when In-Depth with Francis Rose continues.
Are you looking for a smarter, simpler way to save? Now you can get the benefits of paper savings bonds without the paper. It's easy to plan for your financial future with Treasury Direct, a secure, convenient, web-based system where you can purchase electronic savings bonds and other Treasury securities online 24/7. Build your savings by scheduling recurring purchases directly from your paycheck, checking, or savings account. Change how you save today. Visit treasurydirect.gov to open your free account.
IT professionals and graduates from around the country have a lot to say about their experiences from the online Masters in Information Systems from UMBC, the University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
What I really liked was the accessibility of the instructors, and they treated me like a professional colleague, and I was very impressed with that.
Apply today for our upcoming semester. For more information, call 1-800-353-UMBC or visit us online at onlinems.umbc.edu.
Down to Piacente, runs to left, slips again, at the 5 for the touchdown for Navy. Ricky Dobbs again breaking a tackle en route to the end zone. The Mets have the early lead.
Tradition never graduates. See the Navy football home opener versus Georgia Southern Saturday, September 11th at 3:30, sponsored by BB&T. And don't miss out on the Navy Fest Crab Feast. Tickets are on sale now. Enjoy all-you-can-eat crabs, 2 full hours of pregame tailgating, and a great view to March on a midshipman. Get the best seats now by calling 1-800-US-4-NAVY or by logging on to NavySports.com. Order today and join us at Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium for a game day atmosphere like no other. Get the full Annapolis experience and see quarterback Ricky Dobbs lead the midshipmen as they take on Georgia Southern September 11th at 3:30, sponsored by BB&T. Don't miss out on all the action and come early for the Navy Fest Crab Feast. It's Navy football where tradition never graduates. Order your tickets today. Call 1-800-US-4-NAVY or visit NavySports.com.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
One of three Americans being held in Iran on charges of espionage is going to be released on Saturday. Shane Bauer, Sarah Short, and Jas Fatal were detained near Iran's border with Iraq in July of last year. Their families have been told that one of the three is going to be released, but they're not sure which one. White House spokesman Robert Gibbs says all three should be freed immediately because they've committed no crime. I'm J.J. Green.
Have you ever wondered about the logistics required to travel by air from one location to another? Last year in the U.S. alone, more than 821 billion passenger miles were flown in and out of 20,000 airports. Behind the scenes, this requires 15,000 air traffic controllers to support 590,000 pilots with air-to-ground communications. Airink understands this better than anyone. For nearly eight decades, Airink has worked to develop and advance aviation communications around the world, resulting in reduced congestion. Log on to ARINC.com to learn more.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabeck Insider this afternoon. You've been working on those sustainability plans, how to green your agency, OMB. They've been reviewing them. How'd you do? OMB's assessment just out. We'll hear from the White House official responsible for greening the government. And lawmakers, they've been talking about your pay. Well, how many people on Capitol Hill haven't paid their taxes? We'll tell you this afternoon, 3 to 7 on the Dorabeck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And the aforementioned Dorabeck Insider is in studio with me on the Federal News Countdown this week. It sounds like a good show this afternoon.
We have a very good show. A lot of people up on the Hill not paying their taxes.
That's a bad idea. I will just say that's a bad plan.
Yeah, right. Not a good plan.
Yeah, not a good idea. Bill Eggers from Deloitte is Chris's cohort on the Federal News Countdown panel this week. And we're up to... Second most important news story of the week, according to Bill Eggers, is a Washington Post story with the headline, World Economic Forum survey says debt, financial crisis hurt U.S. competitiveness. And as you go through the story, Bill, it looks like a fair amount of these are policy-oriented things, not just the fact that we're in an economic downturn like most of the rest of the world.
Well, the reason I chose this story is because it mirrors a lot of other surveys over the last year, which essentially the U.S. is falling in the ranks of competitiveness. We did a survey of manufacturing competitiveness, which we looked at that. And the same things you find in all these surveys, which is essentially that it's around some of the government policies overall and whether kind of taxes, regulation, trade, and a variety of other things that at least the members of business are becoming increasingly concerned about. And the belief that essentially, you know, a lot of the other countries are both being more proactive and creating, you know, more competitive environments and we're slipping. And I think that, that is something that we're going to have to, you know, very, very seriously address coming forward, because when you look at the shift to Asia and what the competitive environments are in Asia, and as they're improving their education system, as they're increasing their innovation, if in fact that it's viewed that those environments are much, much more friendly, I guess, towards competitiveness, industry, and so forth, than the U.S., then we're going the opposite way. I think we're in a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. And this is an issue that, you know, amidst the economic crisis and the debt crisis and so forth that we haven't heard that much about, but I think that we're going to be hearing a lot more because, again, a lot of the CEOs and business leaders have been pretty vocal of late, you know, talking about this. The head of Intel talked about essentially the fact that, just how it's costing essentially $1 billion more to build a factory in the U.S. Mm-hmm. than it would overseas. Mm-hmm. $1 billion.
Yeah.
And so.
The story from Howard Schneider in the Post says that the study includes statistical measures as well as a survey of business owners to compare countries. In the United States, the entrepreneurs cited access to credit and government regulation among their chief concerns, and that's what I was referring to, Bill, about those are policy issues about where interest rates are set and where the banks are encouraged or discouraged from lending, and whether entrepreneurs feel confident in where policy like that will go moving forward, and also tax policy. President Obama talking about tax policy today, but about whether they feel confident to do what they need to do for themselves and to be competitive, and then also to create more jobs, which is what everybody seems to agree now we need more than anything else.
Well, and I think it's impossible to underestimate how competitive the world is getting increasingly. And you look at countries like China, like India, a billion people or more. If you just have a percentage of those people, have 10% of those people who are over the chart bright, well, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so this becomes very, very important in terms of truly being a world leader. You know, and I think there's a lot of issues underlying here. We have to figure out where we spend money and how we, you know, the long term, the things David Walker has been talking about for years, to make sure that we're physically sound so the rest of these things can fall off. I saw an interesting story last weekend where the UC system in California, UCLA, their business school, is actually giving up taking state funds because they're not getting enough, and they're going to go to big donors.
Uh-huh.
And the fascinating part of this was the change in 30 years over. 30 years ago, California spent 7% of its overall funds on higher education. That has dropped to about 3.5%. The rate that they spend on jails, on keeping people incarcerated, has gone from about 1.5% to almost 6%. Just all of a sudden, it's like these priorities have changed, and how are we going to be competitive when we're spending that kind of money?
Well, and also in California and other states, the percentage of the budget spent on infrastructure has been declining rapidly. And in a budget recession period of time, those are the areas that are always the first ones hit, usually. Oftentimes, infrastructure, higher ed, they're kind of the easiest ones to cut. And then we end up with all of this deferred maintenance year after year. We're over $1.5 trillion worth of infrastructure needs that are unmet right now. And what the stimulus did was it only met a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of that in the 1%. And even the new stimulus is only going to meet a piece of that. We simply don't know how we're going to fund the kind of the roads and everything else that we need. And I think higher ed is interesting because it is becoming, the state universities is becoming more and more independent of the state budgets because they just say that the yo-yo of the funding going up and down, we can't afford that anymore. And so we're going to have to basically raise 70% of the funding outside of the legislature.
The thing that I thought was most interesting about this competitiveness story that Bill Eggers has chosen as his second most important story of the week is we spend a lot of time when we think about competitiveness focused on, are we able to compete against China? We also are starting to think about, Chris, you mentioned India and so on. We're forgetting about the whole rest of the world and how some of these countries are moving. Indonesia vaulted from 54th to 44th place in the survey. Vietnam went from 75th to 59th. And one of my sideline hobbies is following, I watch CNBC incessantly. And these are the countries, Brazil is experiencing
incredible
just tremendous growth.
Yeah.
Countries that have not been on our radar screen as potential competitors are coming out of the woodwork.
There's actually been, as you know, massive flows of capital, actually, essentially out of Europe, a lot of them into the next 13, which is essentially the Indonesia, the Vietnam, the Brazils, the Thailands of the world, essentially. And that's obviously going to continue. The labor costs are much lower, and as they increase their education levels and have stable governments, because the problem in the area had always been essentially the governments hadn't been very stable, and you end up with military coups and things like that.
We just
saw that in Thailand. So that creates a lot of uncertainty, just like our kind of businesses feel like tax policy now and regulatory policies creating uncertainty for them. Well, with Brazil now, you've had very, very stable government for a number of years, and they've done better than just about all the other South American countries, certainly. And yeah, it looks like they're just going to continue to do much, much better in the future. But I still hold out a lot of hope. We still are near the tops in terms of innovation indexes. Mm-hmm. We are still kind of the center of innovation in the world. And a lot of it built around universities and partnerships between universities and companies and others and just an innovative spirit. But that's, again, something where we can't rest on our laurels because we're not doing a lot actively to encourage that.
The thing that I find the most hopeful when it comes to all of these things, too, say what you want about immigration and immigration policy and so on and so forth, but it still seems to me that we're the country more so than any other in the world that people want to try to get into.
Yeah, but friends, what we do at the same time is we send back thousands and thousands of PhDs mm-hmm. every year, people who have been educated here who want to stay, and they can't stay mm-hmm. because they can't even get visas to stay. And so we have an immigration policy where the kinds of people that other countries would absolutely love to have, the Australias and Canadas with their designer immigrations, and they either can't get in or can't often stay uh-huh. here, and we need that skilled capital. Skilled employees.
Bill Eggers is story number two in the Federal News Countdown this week. Is headlined, World Economic Forum survey says debt and financial crisis hurting U.S. competitiveness. It's a Washington Post story that you can find online at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. All of our Federal News Countdown stories, those chosen by Bill Eggers and those chosen by Chris Dorabek, are available there. You can link them all up and read them as we count them down. Story number two from Chris Dorabek, when in-depth with Francis Rose continues on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
NBC News Radio, I'm Marla Smajeris. The economy topped President Obama's talking points at a White House press conference just an hour ago. He acknowledged recovery's been slow in coming.
For all the progress we've made, we're not there yet. And that means that people are frustrated, and that means people are angry.
He continued to urge Republicans to stop blocking a bill to help small businesses and said middle-class tax cuts can be made permanent right now if Republicans agree to work with Democrats in Congress. Republicans, on the other hand, are proposing a tax freeze for 2 years for all Americans, including the nation's top earners. A wildfire in the foothills of Boulder, Colorado is 30% contained, and hundreds of the evacuated will get another chance to check on their homes today. Authorities will open roads in some areas because winds have died down, easing fears about sparks spreading through the region. There's always more news at MSNBC.com. I'm Marla Smajeris, and this is NBC News Radio.
Mark, technician from SafeLight Auto Glass.
Torn up roads can cause big problems for windshields. My last customer ignored a small chip on his, drove over a pothole, and crack! If only he called us sooner. When a chip's small, we can usually repair it in just a half hour with our state-of-the-art resin. A SafeLight repair is so reliable, we guarantee it for life. And with most insurance plans, there's no cost to you.
Call SafeLight at 1-800-800-2727.
SafeLight Repair, SafeLight Replace.
Actual call to Zappos.com.
Thank you for calling Zappos. How can I help you today?
I have a little problem. I ordered a dress yesterday afternoon, and it showed up this morning.
Okay.
I'm not really emotionally ready for it yet, so I put it in the garage under a tarp.
Totally understand.
So can I send it back?
Yes, you can absolutely send it back. You will have to touch the box, though.
Thank you so much.
Got some shopping to do? Become a Zappos.com VIP and get free overnight shipping on everything for life. Join at Zappos.com/happy.
If you've been around Washington as long as I have, you know the one constant is change. The players change, laws change. If you're a federal retiree or soon to be one, you need to know that some of those changes could affect your retirement future. There's one association fighting to make sure that doesn't happen, and that's NARF, the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. If you work for or have worked for Uncle Sam, you need NARF. NARF is the only association that's dedicated to making sure your retirement is secure when you reach retirement. Don't wait until after you retire to join NARF. Check out their website at www.narfe.org. You'll see that NARF is a great investment for your retirement future. Then click on the Join Now button and join hundreds of thousands of federal retirees and employees as a NARF member. Or call them at 800-627-3394, 800-627-3394, and have them send you more information.
This federal government update is brought to you by the U.S. General Services Administration.
The NASA Glenn Research Center is building a wind farm. The agency says this will help it meet the goals of the 2005 Energy Policy Act. By 2013, 7.5% of the energy used by an agency must come from renewable sources. NASA's next step will be preparing an environmental impact statement where it will examine three different sites for the wind farm. It is also asking for public comments on the construction and operation of the turbines, as well as concerns about the overall environmental impact of the project.
Balancing both information technology needs and environmental sustainability can be a challenge. GSA makes it easy with access to multiple green IT solutions that maximize productivity and promote sustainability. To learn more, visit gsa.gov/technology/options. That's gsa.gov/technology/options. Or call 888-377-0070. That's 888-377-0070. GSA, your everything source for green IT and sustainability solutions.
Half Price DC's Labor Day clearance sale is on now. Gift certificates that were already half price are now up to 94% off face value. That's up to 94% off gift certificates to restaurants, spas, retail stores, and more. All with no shipping or processing fees. The Half Price DC Labor Day clearance sale ends this Sunday and supplies are limited. So buy your gift certificates today. Clearance sale prices up to 94% off face value. Only at halfpricedc.com.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
Technology developed at the Department of Energy's Oak Ridge National Lab will extend the life of light-emitting diode lamps. The invention could save U.S. municipalities millions of dollars a year in replacement fixture costs and maintenance, as the lamps are increasingly in demand for uses such as street lamps and parking garage lighting. New graphite foam technology has been licensed to LED North America, which specializes in providing LED lighting products for municipal, commercial, and industrial applications. Cooling LED lamps is critical to increasing their efficiency, considering that each 10-degree decrease in temperature can double the life of the lighting components. The newly licensed graphite foam offers many advantages over comparable heat sink materials such as copper and aluminum.
General Dynamics Information Technology, delivering the strength of technology to achieve mission success. General Dynamics IT. Visit GDIT.com to learn more.
Video teleconferencing solutions are changing the way people communicate by breaking down walls and enabling face-to-face communication regardless of distance or environment. Tanberg, now a part of Cisco, developed Break Down the Walls to provide a window into the ways government, education, and healthcare organizations are using VTC solutions to help them operate more effectively and efficiently, and the ways video solutions can be used to address challenges facing public sector organizations today. Learn more at breakdownthewalls.com.
Welcome back to In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And before we get to Chris Dorbeck's story number two on the Federal News Countdown this week.
He pulled out his iPad.
I want to take you behind the curtain for a moment. My friend Chris Dorbeck, of course, is the biggest fan in the world, not only of Bill Eggers, well, next to your mom, of course, Bill, but also...
I'm still president of the fan club, though.
Of his iPad.
Yeah.
You love your iPad.
I do.
And
you love your apps.
Yeah. Bill got out his iPad a minute ago and opened an app, and you looked like a dog that hadn't eaten dinner in about a month who finally saw a pork chop looking at that app. I don't even know what it was. I can't see it from the side of the console.
It's this very cool app where you can open up like PDF documents, but you can annotate in them. So you can take notes in a PDF document and stuff like that. It's how cool is that?
So I used to travel. I travel all the time. I used to carry around two big bags full of manuscripts and reports and everything else that killed my shoulder. And now I just carry this and I just annotate them all on here and they're there forever. I don't have to file anything. I don't have to kill any trees.
The name of the app?
It's amazing. It's just a very simple app called iAnnotate.
Okay.
PDF.
All right.
During the next break, it will be downloaded.
Exactly, under your iPad. I'll make a note of that and post it on the page at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, because if you like it enough, Chris, to drool over it, it must be pretty cool, because you've seen like 98% of all apps that exist.
I'm not quite that good, but I do love checking out the apps.
All right. Your story number two on the Federal News Countdown this week, Chris, is actually a post on one of Gartner's blogs by Andrea DeMaio with the headline, "Why We Must Get Rid of Open Government." That seems kind of contradictory to what you're usually talking about.
And it's why I think it's so. Andrea DeMaio is one of the really smart guys. Aside from Bill Eggers, he's one of the really smart guys, because he will occasionally take a little bit of a contradictory angle. Gov 2.0 summit been going on all week, second annual one. And if you actually read through his post, which I highly recommend people do, what he's actually saying is not getting rid of open government. What he's talking about is we have to make sure, the critical part of this is making sure that open government is tied to helping people get their jobs done. And mm-hmm. I'll actually just read from his post. "I would argue that we are still far from making open government part of the normal course of business. In order for this to happen, openness, transparency, collaboration, participation, engagement, all of that must become tools that help solve problems, reduce costs, define measurable value to citizens." It has to help the FAA do its job better.
There's got to be a point to it.
And I'm not saying, by the way, this is not necessarily happening, but there are certainly open government advocates. And in fact, Ellen Miller was very critical this week of the Obama openness policy. A lot of this is so new, and we were talking about challenges earlier. A lot of these things, a government's still trying to figure out how to do it in an effective way. And there's so much learning going on. The thing that I'm still continuously inspired by and excited by is that people are willing to go out there and try things and make mistakes and try things that may not necessarily work, where you don't necessarily know the outcome. They're saying, hey, the way we've been doing business for the last 150 years may not necessarily be the best way. Mm-hmm. And they're willing to try new things in some kind of way.
Bill, this is the same thing. What Andrew's talking about here is the same thing that we saw with social media tools early on, where agencies said, we should get a Twitter feed or we should be on Facebook. And somebody else would say, what are you going to do once you're on? Oh, I don't know, but everybody's doing it, so we should do it too.
Well, actually, it's still a big problem with social media tools in that, and this is, it's been my criticism. We've talked about it before, Chris, in that we're not doing enough to tie these to mission, tie these to really how to get big. All the excitement is about kind of how we're going to involve citizens, putting things out to citizens and pulling them in, which is really important. But for these to really take off, you have to find a way of getting the person who's managing the big programs, who's doing that sort of thing, getting them to see how they can use it and how it can help them. Or even the people on the front line. So, one of the things I always think is that we've got 13 million social workers in this country, and they're basically a lot on their own, right? They're going out to houses and everything. They're trying to figure out very, very complex things. Every social worker should have a mobile device, social media with kind of internal Twitter tools and everything, where they can share best practices, they can ask people questions, and then a lot of the data should be out there to where we're actually having other people who are adding that value and putting them in app sort of formats. But think about how you could transform the lives of a social worker by doing all this stuff well, connecting it to risk. Or think about, I always like the examples also of big projects. There's so many risks and so many of these big projects fail. There's all sorts of ways you can use open government and social media to actually reduce some of those risks through sensing and surfacing doubts that people have. One of the examples I always love was what Vivek Kundra did when he was CIO of DC, where he set up essentially a stock market, right, for all the big IT projects. And he let people buy and sell stocks in them. That's like a form of this, because, again, you're surfacing doubts. And I think that's what we need to get towards, is figuring out a lot more of almost the kind of government to government.
About a year into the open government directive, if I had to make a recommendation to OMB, I would be eat the dog food. OMB, and I'll use the initiative this afternoon, we're talking about the green policies that all agencies had to submit their sustainability plans. That was all done back behind the cloaks. No agencies got to see other agencies. There's nothing secret here. Mm-hmm. And yet it's all classified in this horrible word, pre-decisional.
Yeah.
Why not
right.
put those all on a website? Have them develop. A, you'd know who's taking it seriously by how much work is going into it.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd also... other agencies could learn from other agencies. If somebody may be doing something. There's a lot to be learned, and that is something, those kinds of things can actually help agencies do their jobs better. All of a sudden, you get whole hordes of folks thinking about sustainability in a real conscious way, and there's no harm done.
Well, it's no disrespect to you, but you're not necessarily smarter than some of the really smart people that are in government. This had to have occurred to somebody, and the decision had to have been made at some point. We're not going to do it that way. Why is that? Because I agree with you. All of the things that you suggested should have been done.
It's pre-decisional. I think that the stuff is all treated, and we walk around. The budget's a classic one. The budget in this town is all, you know, all the federal agencies, all this stuff goes on behind the scenes. Nobody sees it except for agency stuff. Why? I do not fathom why that's the case.
Bill, are you seeing minds changing about this at all?
Well, no, I think it's part of it. It's this notion of political risk. And
mm-hmm.
All of this is about political risk.
Yep.
Because the way, think about a Google. So one of the things that's great about Google is that everyone uses the same code, and it's all visible on their intranet. Everything, all the projects that everyone else is doing, it's all visible. So they're constantly iterating off of each other and learning from each other, which enables that sort of rapid innovation. And then what they do is they put it out on a beta test and they let people test it out.
Yep.
So they're constantly testing these ideas. And, you know, by having a million eyeballs on it, they're getting better. And we don't do it that way because we're too worried about putting something out there before it's totally finished.
And that's why I think the Green Initiative would have been a great one to try, because it's so safe.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Chris Dorobek's story number two on the Federal News Countdown this week is a blog post from a Gartner's blog that is headlined, Why We Must Get Rid of Open Government. Andrea DeMaio writing that, and you can read it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. We have a link for you there. Links to all of the stories we're counting down on the Federal News Countdown this week with Bill Eggers of Deloitte and the Dorobek Insider, both in studio, back for story number one from each of them when the Federal News Countdown continues on In Depth with Francis Rose.
Taco Bell presents a sandwich expose. You know her as the Sandwich Lady.
Hello.
That sweet woman who wheels around your office selling her chicken sandwiches for the little old cost of...
$5.50.
But what the Sandwich Lady doesn't want you to know is that Taco Bell has a chicken flatbread sandwich for under $1. That's right. Marinated all white meat flame grilled chicken on warm baked flatbread for under $1. When asked to comment, the Sandwich Lady had this to say.
$5.50?
Yes, but what about Taco Bell's chicken flatbread sandwich for under $1?
No under $1. The Sandwich Lady needs to get paid.
Not everyone's happy about the new chicken flatbread sandwich. Warm baked flatbread with flame grilled chicken. Only 99 cents and only at Taco Bell. Think outside the book. Participating locations for a limited time. Prices may vary. Tax extra.
Put away your late night hunger with Taco Bell's fourth meal. All the crunchy, spicy, cheesy, and grilled tastes you crave after dark. Only at Taco Bell. Think outside the bun. Taco Bell is open till 1 a.m. or later. Hours may vary by location.
Are you looking for a smarter, simpler way to save? Now you can get the benefits of paper savings bonds without the paper. It's easy to plan for your financial future with Treasury Direct, a secure, convenient web-based system where you can purchase electronic savings bonds and other Treasury securities online 24/7. Build your savings by scheduling recurring purchases directly from your paycheck, checking, or savings account. Change how you save today. Visit treasurydirect.gov to open your free account.
Today's Emergency Preparedness Series is brought to you by the D.C. Homeland Security and Emergency Management Agency.
September is National Preparedness Month, so the Small Business Administration is encouraging everyone to create their own disaster preparedness plan. That includes having adequate insurance, a survival kit, and copies of important records. Being prepared also means to be sure that everyone at your home and office knows how to evacuate. Are you prepared? I'm Mark Seagraves.
Did you know that floods are the number one natural disaster in America? The D.C. Homeland Security and Emergency Management Agency wants to help you prepare now for the flood risks that come with hurricanes, tropical storms, and other severe summer weather. Learn the difference between a flood watch and a flood warning. gather supplies for your storm kit, and create a family emergency plan. To learn more about preparing for floods, including information on flood insurance, visit 72hours.dc.gov. Be ready, D.C.
Which agency has the best overall location? Nominate an agency today as part of our Best of the Federal Government series. Maybe it's an agency with great restaurants nearby. Maybe it has a gorgeous view. Or maybe there are great nightlife options in the area. Whatever your reasons, we want to know. Go to federalnewsradio.com, search for Best Of, then fill out our anonymous form or send us an email with the name of the agency you'd like to nominate. Nominations will be accepted through Friday, September 10th.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and it's the Federal News Countdown. Bill Eggers of Deloitte and Chris Dorabeck, the host of the Dorabeck Insider blog and radio show, and you're already putting I annotate on your iPad. You weren't kidding.
No.
I ran out during the commercial break, tore out of here.
Yep. Because I'm always doing that. I read all these reports and stuff, yep. And I want to make notes about questions I want to ask. I love it.
You're covered now.
Francis, I laughed so hard when the iPad came out. It was first available that day, and I followed Chris pretty closely on his tweeting and everything, and it was like, okay, I'm not going to buy it because I've already ordered mine. I'm not going to get it. I'm watching everyone else buying it. No. Oh, they're getting it. And like 3 o'clock, I just got my iPad. And this other one's coming in a month. He couldn't wait.
No, of course not. There is a rumor circulating around the station, Bill, that he's going to start a technology museum where he's going to have like his Kindle wing.
Right.
And he'll have one of every Kindle that was ever out. And now with iPads and iPhones, and he'll have all these wings. And every iteration of every device that's ever been released will be on display.
It's one of the terrible parts about Twitter is I was watching everyone talk about, oh, yeah, my iPad's so cool. And then I just sucked
you
me in.
Broke down. You couldn't control yourself.
And I love it.
I laughed so hard.
The business at hand is the Federal News Countdown, and we're up to
#1.
Most important news story of the week, as selected by Bill Eggers, is from New York Magazine. And the headline is Schools, the Disaster Movie. And on first glance, maybe not a lot of federal implications here, but there actually are as you dig down into the story, Bill.
Well, so what the story is just a little bit about is that the director of Inconvenient Truth, which was probably the most one of the most popular documentaries in decades, really, and certainly one of the most influential ones, and beautifully done. You know, whether you agree or disagree with it, it was absolutely beautifully done in a way that we hadn't seen documentaries. He's now chosen education as his next big film, and the feeling is that it could actually raise education reform to the same level public consciousness and everything else, and, you know, appeal to people's emotions like Inconvenient Truth did. And what's interesting about it, you know, certainly every, you know, most federal employees have kids in school. And it talks a lot about Washington, D.C. and Michelle Rhee, the superintendent here who's considered probably one of the two most hard-charging superintendents in the country, and, you know, just absolutely will stop at nothing in terms of doing the reforms. And she actually turns out to be one of the, I guess you would call it, kind of the heroes of the film. And what's interesting is that the Arne Duncan, the education secretary, is also portrayed, I think, very well, and has come out as a pretty big supporter of the film at the same time. And so we're you know, people who have been involved in education reform and talking about various things for years and years and years, and politically it was all very difficult. And it looks like we're kind of at that point where the dams are about to break, if they haven't already started breaking, and we're finally going to see all sorts of different reforms. We're already seeing charter schools, but I think they're going to go past that, and people who have been trying to, you know, slow reforms down and so forth, and haven't been, are really, really on the defensive at this
Chris,
point.
Where this struck me is I had Woody Hall in here the other day, and we heard highlights of that conversation today. I had Paul Strasser in studio on yesterday as well. We were talking both of I talked with both of those gentlemen about refreshing the workforce in the federal government.
Right.
We're going to need big brain power to solve cybersecurity problems. We're going to need big brain power to solve acquisition problems. And with some school systems in the situations that they're in, that brain power is not being fully leveraged, and it's not the fault of the kids that are coming out of the systems, as a movie like this is looking at.
Well, and it has a lot of the, I think, as I was reading the story, the thing that touched me is the challenges, and there's similar challenges in the federal government. How do you get the best and the brightest to be teachers?
Yeah.
And how do you empower them to do things? And how do you measure that?
Mm-hmm.
I know teachers don't like some of the tests, but how do you do all those? Those aren't much different than the challenges facing every federal agency.
It's exactly the same, because full disclosure, my wife is an educator in Montgomery County, and people say, well, she's got great benefits. She makes pretty good money. That's true. She also has a master's degree that she could take into the private sector and make a lot more money if she chose to. She happens to really love what she does, and she loves working with elementary age kids. So fortunately, we have people like that who are willing to do that. So I totally relate to that. Bill Eggers is story number one in the Federal News Countdown this week. Is from New York Magazine. The headline is Schools, the Disaster Movie, about the new movie called Waiting for Superman, coming out in New York and Los Angeles in a couple of weeks, and national release soon to follow. You can learn more about it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Back for Chris Dorbeck's number one story of the week when In Depth with Francis Rose continues.
You're the master and commander. You've got the helm. You rule with one touch in a million places. With Verizon, you control your small business with America's largest push-to-talk coverage area. You touch, you connect, and push the boundaries of push-to-talk.
Now, buy one BlackBerry Bold for only $149.99 after $100 mail-in rebate debit card and get another Bold free. Or get a rugged Samsung Convoy or Motorola Barrage free after $50 mail-in rebate debit card. Plus, for a limited time, the Bold comes with free push-to-talk monthly service.
Dominate the marketplace with massive coverage and group connections to up to 50 people.
Sign up for commanding push-to-talk coverage. Speak with a small business specialist at any Verizon Wireless store. Visit verizonwireless.com/smallbusiness or call 1-800-BZW4BIZ.
Rule the air. Verizon.
All phones require new 2-year activation on a voice plan. BlackBerry requires data pack $29.99 or higher. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com.
What about the Obama administration's open government directive? How does embracing new technology foster an open government agenda? What is the U.S. General Services Administration doing to be more transparent, collaborative, and accountable? Listen next week as these topics and more will be explored with Dr. David McClure, Associate Administrator of the Office of Citizen Services and Communications at the U.S. General Services Administration. Join host Michael Keegan next week for this encore edition of the Business of Government Hour.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
One of three Americans being held in Iran on charges of espionage is going to be released on Saturday. Shane Bauer, Sarah Short, and Jas Fatal were detained near Iran's border with Iraq in July of last year. Their families have been told that one of the three is going to be released, but they're not sure which one. White House spokesman Robert Gibbs says all three should be freed immediately because they've committed no crime. I'm J.J. Green.
Have you ever wondered about the logistics required to travel by air from one location to another? Last year in the U.S. alone, more than 821 billion passenger miles were flown in and out of 20,000 airports. Behind the scenes, this requires 15,000 air traffic controllers to support 590,000 pilots with air-to-ground communications. Airink understands this better than anyone. For nearly eight decades, Airink has worked to develop and advance aviation communications around the world, resulting in reduced congestion. Log on to ARINC.com to learn more.
Plan now to attend Affirm and Guy Tech's September 16th Educational Forum on Data Center Optimization. You'll learn from government peers how to optimize federal data centers by effectively managing organizational change. Affirm's September event will be held downtown at the Hamilton Crown Plaza Hotel at 14th and K Street, Northwest, from 11:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Register today at affirm.org. That's AFFIRM.org.
Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. It's the Federal News Countdown with my colleague Chris Dorabeck and with Bill Eggers of Deloitte. And Chris Dorabeck, your number one story of the week is a Mike Causey column from today with the headline 9/11/01, Where Were You? And we're at that time of year again when we're thinking about what was going on 9 years ago.
And I think it's always, you know, it's hard to, I thought it was almost impossible to go through this particular period of time without at least paying it some degree of attention. I think there are very, very few incidents that changed, you know, that we always say it's a day that changed everything, well, it, particularly for government. And I guess what, as I was recalling back how much things have changed, when New York happened and when here in D.C. happened, everyone looked, there was no question about big government, small government, does government work? Government had to work. Mm-hmm. It was the only, it is the only organization that could deal with the issues that we face. Mm-hmm. And so it's, I think it's a very, very, important to remember the people who died in the Pentagon right here in this region. Mm-hmm. And what an, it was an important day in our nation's history.
Bill, any thoughts about, what happened on 9/11 or what we're thinking about it as we look back, 9 years later?
Well, I remember just, I think that the thing that really is such a big memory of mine was getting into, I lived not far from here up in Friendship Heights area, and just for weeks and months afterward, just getting into the metro, going down there, and that sense of absolute palpable kind of fear and dread.
Yeah.
Every day, getting in there, and so many other people had that too. And then with the
hearing the planes leaving National Airport was freaky.
The anxiety that you felt, kind of living in Washington at that time for a long time, was something I'll never forget. Certainly,
I will continue to believe until the day I leave this earth that those of us who live or work in the proximity of the White House or the Capitol building owe the families of the people who were on board Flight 93 a tremendous debt.
Amen.
Because I believe those people saved the lives of me, for one. I was about two blocks away from the White House.
I was
the morning
at
of 9/11.
That morning, yes.
Yeah, and
was,
if you watch that movie, Flight 93, and the role that those air traffic controllers play, I mean, it gives you a lot of, it's why we invest in good people to be feds.
Exactly right. Gentlemen, a terrific Federal News Countdown. And I appreciate your participation, the time that you put into preparing for it. Bill Eggers of Deloitte, a pleasure to have you on the station as always. Thank you for making time for it. Federal News Radio's Chris Dorabeck, of course, pulling double duty, not only on the countdown, but you're turning around to come over on my side of the console and get ready to do the Dorabeck Insider Show. Great lineup that we heard about earlier. You can find out more about that at federalnewsradio.com/Dorabeck Insider. The countdown will be posted. The audio will be posted so you can listen back to the countdown show anytime you want all weekend long, even from your iPad.
Yeah.
Through the Federal News Radio app. You have that app on you?
Yes.
Okay,
that's
of course you do.
App.
Good answer. Your favorite app. Sure it is. Okay, we'll buy that. Bill Eggers, thanks for being here. Chris Dorabeck, have a great show. Back on Monday with a brand new In Depth with Francis Rose between 1 and 3 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.